someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
He teaches his students about the power and significance of language and linguistics. He helps them realize how to make language work and how to use it to unleash their infinite possibilities. For nearly 5 decades, he has served at Howard University, committed to facilitating communication across the spectrum of exchange. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is Professor of Communications and the current Chair of the Faculty Senate, Dr. Richard Wright. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
So you were born and raised in Northeast D.C.
Yes, sir.
So tell me about that. Tell me what D.C. was like at that time that you were raised here.
I grew up in D.C. during the era of segregation. Everyone I ever saw in my early life was black. All of my teachers were black. All of my classmates were black. Everyone who lived in my neighborhood was black. I only went to black stores. I lived the life of blackness, and it was interesting to me when they talked about black people being a minority. That always sounded funny to me because everybody I saw was black. So I had to learn as a child to understand these concepts of growing up in a way that leads you to feel that you occupy a certain kind of status. And that was something I learned later because I grew up rather joyfully. I loved my school. I loved my teachers. I was very active in my school. Did a great deal in athletics. I actually ran track. And at one time in D.C., I was one of the fastest young boys running around the street.
You see, that's good to know. Yeah. You had siblings?
I have. I had an older brother, a twin brother. A lot of people say, Dr. Wright, you have a twin. I said, yes, I do. And a younger brother. So they were 4 boys, my dad and my precious and very strong mom.
So tell me a little bit about your home life.
I had the great good fortune of having a father who was called into the ministry. After he had had all 4 of us, he was called into the ministry. So I grew up in the church, and the black church during segregation was a very strong supporter of education. We often sponsored programs where we celebrated the achievements of students in school. So I had a very strong foundation from my home, from my church, from my neighborhood, and from my school to value strength in education. My mother only went to the 12th grade. My father only went to the 8th grade. But they did all they could within their humility to make sure that the character and the condition of being an effective, strong learner were present in our home. And I was supported also by the community. I mean, we lived in a neighborhood where when you weren't at home, you were still connected to people who were looking out for you. And if you were engaged in something that was a little bit off the scale, they called your name. Right. And when they called your name, you just looked around and said, yes, ma'am. Because you knew that if you didn't respect her utterly, that it would be known before you got home.
Right.
I did that, but you know, Mr. President, I never left my love of learning. I was a star in the area of Latin, which has ultimately shaped my life because I've gone from there to becoming a linguist. I always committed to the classroom first. And I also engaged in public speaking contests. Declamation contest. I participated in that. I was in the foreign language club, in the Latin club. I was always a learner, a student first. Interestingly, I did so well in track, I actually won a track scholarship to go to Morehouse College.
Mm.
This was in 1960. And I said, I had a choice to make. I said, wait a minute, I applied to Howard, but here's Morehouse reaching out to me for me to come there. I was a homegrown boy. I hadn't gone far beyond Northeast Washington, D.C. in my life. My connection was to my city, to my neighborhood, to my church. And I couldn't leave. I wanted to go to Howard. There was no other choice until I heard from Morehouse. So I went directly to the institution that pulled on me when I graduated from high school. I came to Howard.
And at Howard, you majored in Spanish, minored in French. But you were at Howard at a very interesting time in our nation's history.
When I came to Howard in 1960, the civil rights movement was well underway. I was committed to my work and didn't really get into what Howard was moving toward until 1961. I was taking a U.S. government class. It was called Government 610. And we had a professor, Emmett Dorsey, and he said, look, someone is coming to campus that you're going to have to go see, hear what he has to say. He's not really here to talk to you. He's really here to debate Bayard Rustin, who was second in command to the NAACP at the time, to Roy Wilkins. And he said, but you got to go hear him. And he didn't give us much of a sense of getting a lot. But just, you got to, he's coming. You need to just be exposed to him. But I will tell you, Malcolm came to this campus and he changed my life. He changed not only my life, I think he changed the lives of students. And through the students, I think he changed Howard. We didn't have a very active student body before 1961. We did have meetings, and we talked about Howard needing to have greater involvement in the civil rights movement. But after Malcolm left, we were a different student body, because he connected black education to black leadership. He didn't come to recruit. He said, but what I am going to challenge you to understand is that you cannot have an education, be black, and not fully engage in liberation. So he said to the students of Howard, there's work that only you can do. I can't do it. Others can't do it. You must do it, and you must be leaders. Before you're anything else, you must lead us. You must participate in the struggle in a way that we need the university student participating. So when he left, we were all charged up. This was during the time of Stokely Carmichael. He and I graduated same time in 1964. I stood right next to him in line. And under his robe, he had on combat boots. So we knew he was ready to go. So that was the Howard that I was charged up in when I left in 1964. So what I've always maintained from my life at Howard was a commitment to responsible activism. And we as students during that period had a saying that this is one of the few times I've ever had to share it, except with my students in class. We actually said, as the students go, so goes Howard University. As Howard University goes, so goes the black community. As the black community goes, so goes the nation. And as the nation goes, so goes the world. Mm-hmm. We had that sense that what we engaged in made a difference.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Richard Wright, Chair of the Faculty Senate. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So to switch gears a bit, obviously you had a very strong grounding here at Howard. You went on to University of Texas, where you did an MA in Latin American Studies. And then at the University of Texas at Austin, you got your PhD in 1976.
Yes.
In sociolinguistics.
Yes, sir.
You returned to Howard, and at Howard, you've obviously come through the academic ranks.
Yes.
But I want to talk about your role as chair of the Faculty Senate and what that really means to university life.
Faculty Senate is an opportunity for faculty to feel that they can make a difference in ways that relates to organization and having spokesperson to advance their interest and their will.
So obviously that also involves shared governance,
yes.
mutual respect, shared responsibility, and shared accountability.
Yes, sir. I want to see in the concept of shared governance an opportunity for the three major constituents of the academy to make sure that they're working as best they can together, that they are able to draw on the greatest wisdom that comes from all three, that when we have challenges, we're working together on them. We need to be so honest and open and respectful of one another that we are sought out for opportunities to learn from one another. I have made a commitment to my president, to the board, and on many occasions openly to my colleagues that Howard will be stronger when we all are working together.
I have to express my appreciation because I think that openness, these things work obviously because it has to be a two-way street of exchange, and it has to start with that mutual respect and tone and tenor, which I think you epitomize, at least in your interactions with me, and for that I'm appreciative.
Thank you, sir.
And as we close, what are some of the priorities for the Faculty Senate?
I want the Faculty Senate to be a think tank for social issues that the nation should really be looking to Howard for. We have a wonderful faculty here. We have an engaged faculty. We have a committed faculty. The faculty who come to Howard love Howard, but we're not harnessing their energies to act on the issues that that challenge us as a nation. I would love to preside over a faculty senate that adopts the position that we need to be acting on the issues that act on us. We need to be engaged in providing spiritual and intellectual guidance to understand the challenges that we face. And we should be engaged maybe even in designing action plans to confront some of those issues. I believe the nation needs a university that sets a tone for the intellectual who is an activist in the cause of social justice.
So I usually ask guests, why Howard in mm-hmm. terms of recruiting students? I'm going to ask you a different mm-hmm. question.
Mm-hmm.
For a faculty member mm-hmm. out there who's listening, who wants to join this august mm-hmm. body mm-hmm. That the Faculty Senate mm-hmm. represents, mm-hmm. why come to Howard as a faculty member?
You develop a closeness with your students. Howard fosters, I know we're moving toward Research One and elevating ourselves in that way, but the love of being in the classroom with these young people who sit at your feet and look to you to give them the words of wisdom that will guide them from here to there, and to be the kind of professor that invokes that kind of affect from the student. That's what keeps me going at Howard. I'm 76 years old, and I've been at this Howard at this institution for 46 years. And people say, "Well, Dr. Mike, when are you gonna hang it up?" They say, "You know, you've been at this so long. All the people you started with are gone. So why are you still?" I said, "Look, you know, I'm not tired, so I'm not oriented to being retired." Okay, I'm at this and in this because the things I do keep me wanting to do it again tomorrow. My students love me. I love them. I give of myself to everything I do. I love being here, growing here. I've grown here for 46 years, plus the four that I was here as a student. 50 years of life. This institution has been here 151 years, and I've been here one-third of that time. So my love of what I do, the love I feel from the people I work with, the respect I have been given for my longevity and the contributions I've tried to make, enkindle in me a spirit of joy in doing it just one more time. And I guess the one thing that I could ask, if there was anything I could ask in my life, is just a few more years to keep at it until I see my university embrace something I've committed to, and that's collaborative, loving, and caring shared governance to the benefit and welfare of Howard University.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Richard Wright. As he said so eloquently, a gray hair is a turban of wisdom. And I think we've been certainly blessed here at Howard University with your wisdom. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.